From a basement in Ealing, a team of ineffectual superheroes casts a watchful eye over the world of nerd. Whenever there's a movie trailer to be dissected, whenever there's a Joss Whedon project to be discussed, whenever there's a squeeze to be squeezed, there will be... The Dork Avengers!
Hello there and welcome to the New Year's special of the Dork Avengers podcast, the podcast that knows how to party like it's Space 1999. I'm Pete, Jules Holland, Hootenanny Dylan Trenchard, and with me as ever is Duncan, New Year Live with Jake Humphrey Heaney. Do you know what one of the main things people say about this podcast is, Dunk?
Yeah, where's the off button? Can I turn the volume down? Who is that girlish voiced man who keeps talking about Power Rangers?
Those are some of the things that people say about the podcast. But also people say, guys, why are you called the Dork Avengers? I mean, very clearly you're dorks, but Avengers? You're just two men. You're not so much a team as a gay relationship in denial. And to them I say, we're not just two men at the Dork Avengers, because we're joined by special guest, comedian, writer, podcaster, entrepreneur, Chris Brosnahan.
All of these things are overstating me quite a lot. However, I will say that if we're going with the different channels' versions of things, I'm the Channel 4 Alternative special hosted by Graham Norton.
So yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dunk, what have we got coming up on today's show?
Well, in this New Year's edition, we'll be talking about some of our highlights, lowlights, and embarrassing lights of the year.
For you, it's mostly going to be the embarrassing lights, isn't it?
It has been a tough year.
We'll be giving our thoughts on Sherlock Holmes 2, A Game of Shadows.
We'll be going on forums to see if we can catch them all.
And we'll be making some resolutions for the year ahead, and then instantly breaking them. Does that sound like something you can get behind, Chris?
I'll do my best.
In that case, let's go.
Dork Avengers, assemble!
Okay, I'm coming.
So now it's time to take a look at the good, the bad, and the ugly of 2011.
Which one of us is good, which one of us is bad, and which one of us is ugly?
Maybe I'll put a photo up and let the listeners decide, but I'm sorry, Dunk.
Oh, you sound just like my mum.
Let's start on a high note. Let's look at the good of 2011. We'll start with our special guest, Chris. What was your personal highlight of the year?
I started going back into stand-up comedy again, which I haven't done for about 10 years. And on a personal level, that's been kind of astonishingly rewarding. Also, I kind of finally got round to actually finishing a novel, which I've been working on. I did it as part of NaNoWriMo in 2006. I finished it this January and managed to get an agent, which was quite awesome.
That is very impressive.
Well done.
Thank you. Been turned down by pretty much every publisher, but we're still working on it, so we'll see how that goes. But this has all paled into insignificance with the birthday present my parents very kindly got for me, which was the Taschen 75th anniversary book about DC, which is basically the size of my torso, is 640 pages long and is just orgasmically beautiful. In every single sense of the word.
In every single sense of the word.
Oh, yes.
Well, what does the book actually contain, though? I mean, I imagine it's not just 600 plus pages of Adam West.
It's basically, Taschen is primarily an arts publisher. They do an awful lot of porn as well, with big book of boobs and big book of willies and stuff like that.
Are there any boobs or willies in the Batman books?
I imagine there is one dick.
Oh. It's basically a decade by decade look at DC Comics, right from the beginning, right through, with reproductions of covers, panels, lots of history stuff, and just gorgeously and luxuriously printed. That is by far and away the best thing of the year. It is the most astonishingly beautiful thing I've ever seen. I almost wept.
Dunk, what's been your personal highlight of the year?
Well, it's going to sound very boring, but I discovered the joys of walking.
This sounds most unlike you.
I also discovered the joys of Big Finish Doctor Who audios. Obviously, as someone who doesn't like exercise, or outside, or people, or smells, basically anything apart from video games.
Yeah.
This was a revelation to have this audio on my ears. So what I started doing is walking to Camden with the Doctor Who audios on, because back and forth to Camden is about the length of a Big Finish Doctor Who audio.
So what's been your favourite so far?
Anything with Sylvester McCoy, because Sylvester McCoy is the best Doctor.
Oh Lord, yes.
No.
Thank you!
Absolutely.
Thank you!
I've brought the wrong guest onto the podcast. Right, do I need to sit both of you down and tell you exactly why Sylvester McCoy is a terrible actor?
You can, but then we'll both tell you why he's not.
And why you're wrong in every possible sense of the word.
So why is he a terrible actor, Pete?
Well, for a start, there's all the gurgling noises he makes while he's trying to speak. There's the
That's called being Scottish.
That's not so much a criticism as just abject racism.
No, I find the Seventh Doctor so kind of overacting and...
He should be toned down and subtle like Tom Baker.
There's two kind of Sylvester McCoy big finishes. There's the ones where he's on his own, which are okay. And there's the ones where he's with Ace and Hex.
If there's one person I think is a worse actor than Sylvester McCoy, it's Sophie Aldred.
You shut your filthy mouth.
Yeah, you hold him down, I'll beat him. But no, I think that dynamic, the Doctor, Ace and Hex in the TARDIS, works really well as it kind of really freshens it up. But it's not just Sylvester McCoy. I mean, the other thing that I love about the Big Finish audios is it's completely changed the way I think about Colin Baker as a Doctor.
Yeah, no, that I will agree with. He's a lot gentler than the TV version.
Well, I think that's part of the problem, because Colin Baker is a prick. No, sorry. I should rephrase that. Colin Baker's Doctor is a prick. And having Evelyn, who's an older lady, capable of bringing him down, more of a gilf, I believe.
I'm realising what a weird podcast this is at this point, so we've now got to... I hate the Scottish, and f*** Colin Baker!
So, yeah, so all in all, Big Finish, it's got me walking. I'm not losing weight because I still eat a lot of chocolate.
Yep.
So, Pete, what's the best thing you've done this year?
Well, I think the best thing I've done this year was actually the most recent thing I've done this year. On Friday night, I went to see the first episode of Series 10 of Red Dwarf being recorded.
Woohoo!
I am very relieved that you've said that's the best thing you've done.
There's quite a low benchmark to set it against, to be honest. But no, it was genuinely good. I'm not allowed to go into any sort of detail because it's not being aired till September. What I saw of it, it really felt like classic Red Dwarf, you know. It was just the four of them in space. You know, Lister's the last human again. It's all a bit kind of bleak and confined, but there were a lot of hilarious one-liners in there. It was a small story. They didn't have big dinosaurs rampaging around the ship. It was a small kind of family-centric story, let's say. I'm very excited about it come 2012.
Did they provide an answer to the big question on everyone's minds, which is, how are they going to explain how Rimmer, a hologram, is kind of chubbed out?
Actually, he's looking quite... trim now. I don't know if he's lost weight for the series.
Maybe he's ill. Heard it here first. Chris Barry ill.
And on that note...
That's not true.
If it's true, we're all very sad.
And also quite proud for breaking the news.
We'd like to wish Chris Barry well for the short time he has left.
Get better soon, Chris Barry. So, speaking of awful things, what's the worst thing that's happened to you this year, Chris?
I made the mistake, having seen the synopsis for a movie, of deciding that I had to buy this movie to use as a prop during stand-up. And then I made the mistake of deciding I now have to watch the movie. It's a movie called Golden Tale. See if you can guess the point where it goes from being an averagely bad movie to being truly horse shit.
I'm already scared.
One summer, long ago, a little girl and a little boy were brought together. Then the summer ended and they never saw each other again. Years later, Jessica, the girl, recently widowed, decides to start over, move back home with her son and buy it as a Christmas surprise. However, her plan goes awry when she discovers that her parents already sold the house to the very same person that she spent that magical summer with years ago. Jessica's not ready for a man in her life. She just wants the house. But with the help of her family, some luck, and a very special dog, maybe Jessica will realise the blessings in a plan gone awry and maybe even fall in love in the process. You cannot throw a very special dog into that point in the synopsis. At that point, you may as well just go, and with the help of Batman. It is such a bad movie. The dog is fucking frightening.
So that's your low light of the year.
Oh God, yes. It's one of the low lights of my life.
Wow.
And I've seen Titanic.
So, Dunk, what was your low light of the year?
My low light actually happened yesterday. So, yeah, on the way home from the tube, I was walking up the stairs at the tube station, and this little girl was walking ahead of me, you know, kind of maybe two, and started to...
Oh, I think I know where this story's going.
So this little girl was walking up the stairs, and she started to fall. And so I tried to catch her, like, reflectively, you know? But obviously, because I've got no depth perception, I'm a fat nerd, and physical activity is kind of beyond anything I can do. I missed. So really, basically, instead of catching her, I kind of just, like, pushed her quite hard, and so she fell forward into the steps. But I was going to catch her anyway. Her mum, who's behind me, really laid into me, like, accusing me of, like, trying to push her kid down the stairs.
No, you were trying to push her up the stairs. So this is the heartwarming story of how you thumped a child in the back.
Yeah, I mean, you say it like that, it sounds quite fun.
God, you're almost as much of a monster as Andy Peters.
Nobody's as much of a monster as Andy Peters.
So yeah, this mum, the mum started really laying into me. She was like, "Did I push my kid down the stairs?"
Was this mum a character from Monty Python? Well, played by Terry Jones.
I just realised that's exactly the same impression I do for you as well. She started really laying into me, like, "Oh, you dirty paedophile," and stuff like that. So,
and everyone knows the paedophile's favourite thing to do is push children downstairs.
I sat kind of in the corner of my room just like quivering in rage for about an hour.
And what did you do about it? You posted an angry Facebook status
update. I'm a nerd. It's the only outlet I've got.
Would you have stood a better chance of catching it if you hadn't been listening to a Colin Baker Big Finish at the time?
To be honest, I was actually listening to episode 5 of the Dork Avengers.
As a health warning, the Dork Avengers will not help you catch children.
In fact, Dork Avengers
on stairs or as a paedophile.
So yeah, the low light of my year was pushing a little kid face first into some stone steps and getting yelled at by her mother. Pete, can you match that low light?
Actually, I can't quite match that low light, but I think certainly the most time I wasted this year was spent learning Japanese.
Did they not just beat you up until you learned it?
No, that's not actually how language schools work, Dunk.
How much of this learning Japanese was specifically so you didn't have to watch fan-dubbed episodes of Power Rangers?
Go, Kaija. Don't call it Power Rangers. He'll get very angry and possibly beat you and not let you out.
He's hulking up. What's going on? Ah!
I'm not hulking up. I've just got trapped wind. I think the tipping point for me was when Sensei told us that there's just so many ways of counting to 10 in Japanese. There are at least 11 different ways of counting to 10. This is just verbally.
So, actually, by the time you learn to count to 10, you can't count all the ways that you can count to 10?
No.
That's weird.
But yeah, apparently they have one way of counting for kind of round, flat items. They have one way of counting for long, tubular items. They also have a different way of counting robots.
That's just awesome.
Makes sense.
Yeah, number of times that giant robots attack Japan.
Or defend Japan in some cases.
Don't
tar all giant robots with the same brush. Don't be a giant robot racist.
Yeah, it's not like the Scottish.
Oh dear. So yeah, that was my low point of the year.
Life. Don't talk to me about life.
So on to this week's film review, which is Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows.
Yeah, I wanted to see New Year's Eve.
Well, I didn't want to see a Love Actually style romantic comedy.
Yeah, but this isn't the Sherlock Holmes special, it's the New Year's Eve special. But I was outvoted.
So, Pete, what's the film about?
Sherlock Holmes, it's almost certainly what Conan Doyle would have wanted. It's Robert Downey Jr. playing a sort of wacky incarnation of the Sherlock Holmes character in 1891 as he tries to foil a plot for Moriarty to start World War I almost 20 years early. That's about it, really.
We have with us a proper fan of the Sherlock Holmes canon.
Yeah, whereas other kids got into a lot of things like cartoons and so on when they were younger, I was reading Sherlock Holmes stories primarily. I've been a fan for most of my life. This film is basically if Sherlock Holmes was a comic book series, and it was then the adaptation of the long-running comic book series Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, because Sherlock Holmes in this is essentially a superhero. I mean, it takes the attributes of Sherlock Holmes, you know, he notices everything, you know, and turns that basically into a superpower.
Yeah, it was very much like a sort of Spider-Man, his spidey senses tingling.
Putting on the screen people working stuff out is always difficult.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when they did the film with the Da Vinci Code, because if they were trying to do that the way it's written in the book, every scene would have been 40 minutes of somebody looking at a painting. So they actually took it and they did visual stuff with it, and I think that's what they tried to do with this series. And for me, the stuff where it works least well is when it's being an action-based romp. Some of the over-the-top fight scenes are fun, some of them are less fun. The entire middle section with them running away from machine guns could be cut out completely. We would lose anything. But there's some stuff in there I thought was really quite strong. I love the idea of a self-destructive Sherlock Holmes.
But how did you feel about Robert Downey Jr. playing him?
Downey Jr. is perfect to play a self-destructive character. He's also perfect to play a very intelligent character, since he is both of those. And his English accent is pretty spot-on perfect.
He put a little bit too much gravitas in it, almost. He went down the sort of the Ian McKellen-type route when he was finding his character voice. So he was delivering a lot of this very snappy dialogue.
Yeah.
But he was doing it in a way which
in
didn't
a very
really
portentous
work.
Way.
Yes, yeah.
It certainly could have been a hell of a lot worse. It's by far and away the best work Guy Ritchie's done.
That's not saying a lot,
compliment.
Yeah.
Pretty much because the only other things he's done is gangster films and that abomination with Madonna.
His marriage. The guy playing Moriarty, Jared Harris, I thought he was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The scenes with Moriarty and Holmes meeting for the first time are taken from the story The Final Problem. And they use a lot of the dialogue in there, and I think that works really well, and
well,
it's played well.
I thought every time that Holmes and Moriarty were on screen together where the film felt most alive.
Yeah, it got immediately more interesting.
I mean, well, I think this is my general feeling about the film, is the smaller it went, the more tension it became. When you've got Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson running through a wood being shot at by giant rocket launchers and things exploding and trees exploding in slow motion.
Or you have the hilarious comedy of Sherlock Holmes and a Shetland pony.
Oh, we've got that joke.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah. That just kind of fell flat for me. It kind of felt a little bit tedious, and I started thinking about Spider-Man, which is what I do when I get bored. But then those Battle of Wits moments, and the moments where it's just Holmes and Watson either bantering or Holmes and Moriarty engaging in a Battle of Wits, that was a fun, great film.
The only major problem I've got with it is that one of the joys of watching a Sherlock Holmes story, or reading a Sherlock Holmes story, is that all the pieces are there for you to work out. But with this kind of story, they're not.
No, I mean, the big denouement at the end is it's not so much a deus ex machina, but it's that Holmes has noticed something that the audience hasn't been shown. Pete, what did you think of the relationship between Holmes and Watson? Because one of the kind of main, I guess, hallmarks of this series now is the married couple dynamic between Holmes and Watson.
I think it was written very well. Yeah, I liked the kind of snippiness of it, but because Downey Jr. was playing it so kind of seriously, it didn't work for me. It felt like Holmes was meant to be the silly one of the two. But Robert Downey Jr. wasn't playing the silly that was written into the script.
See, I actually really liked the Watson-Holmes dynamic.
The function of Watson in the books is that Watson is the narrator. What it also means is that he's there to soften when Holmes does something that makes him out to be a gigantic prick.
Like Colin Baker.
Colin Baker.
I've got time.
In one of the original stories, there's an amazing sequence where Holmes goes undercover into a stately home as a servant and begins a relationship with one of the maids and actually gets engaged to one of the maids for information, and then he f***s off and never speaks to her again and never explains to her what's going on or anything like that. House is very much based on Sherlock Holmes. And the House and Wilson dynamic.
That's House, the Hugh Laurie American TV series.
Basically, House and his best mate Wilson. Basically, an updated Holmes and Watson.
Yeah.
And what this has done is it's taken a lot of cues from House.
They have Stephen Fry in it, so maybe that's why they have Stephen Fry in the movie. It's because they wanted Hugh Laurie, but he was off being House. So they got the next best thing, which is Stephen Fry.
And of course, you got rather a lot of Stephen Fry.
Yes.
Fair play to him for doing that.
Yeah, Stephen Fry has a nude scene, which I have to say is the worst bit of nudity I've ever seen since I saw Ian McKellen's penis front row at King Lear.
Oh, I would see that as well.
Yeah. Do you know what the worst thing about it was? I was sitting next to my mum and she looked impressed.
In fairness, it was quite impressive.
But yeah, I can see why he's so popular.
I can see why he's so happy to get it out at his age, you know?
Yeah, Dunk told me this halfway through the movie, and all I was able to think about for the rest of the movie was Ian McKellen's cock.
Let me just say, Gandalf didn't need a staff.
Should say, Stephen Fry was playing Mycroft Holmes, Sherlock's brother.
He was actually my favourite character of the film, though.
I mean, I thought Stephen Fry was fine. I wouldn't say he was the best thing in it. Why do you say he's the best thing in it?
Every time Stephen Fry came on the screen, I found myself interested again. Basically.
Is that because you thought he was about to spew out facts? I thought probably the weakest part of this film is that it didn't even try to be a mystery or even didn't even try to engage you mentally. I mean, it was just willing to throw up explosions and stuff instead of, you know, making you think about any of the mystery, any of the clues, anything like that.
That's it. It was almost like some of the 70s Doctor Who's in which Roger Delgado would play the Master in every story. And there'd be no mystery to it, but oh, at some point the Master's going to turn up. He's the one behind it.
And if you replace the mystery with action, what's the point of making it Sherlock Holmes?
So, Chris, as a Sherlock fan, you know, what would you give it out of 5?
I'd probably give it 3 out of 5, but I would give it an entertained 3 out of 5. It's still massively flawed, but there's actually some really nice stuff in there. It's been written by people who know their Holmes, which is a really nice touch. I have problems with it. I've got a lot of problems with it, but it's so much more fun than I was expecting from the very first trailer for the first movie.
I think I'd agree 3 out of 5. You know, I'm obviously not as steeped in it as you are, but it was entertaining, it just had a lot of flaws, and I don't know if I'll see it again, but I'll certainly remember it, which is more than we can say about some of the other films we've seen. Tower Heist!
Johnny English 2!
And what about you, Dunk?
Well, at the risk of sounding like I'm following the crowd, I would also give it 3 out of 5.
Copycat.
I thought that it was an entertaining movie in its own right. I thought it was patchy. It was really up and down. Some points I was bored, some points I was really entertained.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed that it might as well have been Hannibal from the A-Team. as opposed to Sherlock Holmes. If you're going to do a Sherlock Holmes movie, at least try and make it a compelling mystery. And
that said, 10-year-old boys will love it.
Okay, yeah. I have one more question before we wrap this up. Who fans are called Whovians? Trek fans are called Trekkies. What's a Sherlock Holmes fan called?
Sherlockians, usually.
Hey, I've learned something today.
That sounds very schlocky to me.
Clancy, I'll be gone for a while, see that no one touches me.
Aye, sir, and where can I reach you?
It can be reached at 221 B Baker Street.
And now it's time for Forum Watch, the section of the show in which we look at the internet and gaze at the specimens within. What are we looking at this week, Dunk?
We'll be looking at Pokemon.
Oh, for God's sake. This is the point where I'm kind of saying, look, I've sat through the Colin Baker hatred, I've sat through the Scottish racism, I've sat through the idea of throwing children downstairs and pretending it's funny. I'm fine with all of this. Hey, but Pokemon...
Hey, nobody was pretending it was funny.
Frankly, Pokemon, that's a step too far. Japanese cuteness is just, I cannot be doing with this kind of thing. So I'm going to go out and tip over chairs and tables on my way out.
That's only going to make Dunk's room look tidier. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
Enjoy the rest of the podcast and the massive amount of editing.
Yeah, in case you're wondering who this guy is, he's the one who said about 30 seconds of stuff in the intro.
I'm going with him. You're on your own from now on, you hater. You hater.
Well, in that case...
Wherever there's a new Super Sentai to be discussed, wherever there's a morph to be morphed, you'll find... The Zord Avengers!
And I'm back to try and save the podcast.
It's a bit late for that, Dunk.
So this issue, we're looking at Pokemon.
And over the 10 weeks of my language course, I learned that Pokemon is Japanese for merchandising opportunities.
Pete, got a joke for you.
Okay.
How'd you get Pikachu on a bus?
We probably just like catch him in your Pokeball and then put it in your pocket and get on the bus. You probably only have to pay for a single fare.
Thanks, I appreciate you giving it. I've been wondering, because I thought you'd say Pokemon.
What? Why would I say Pokemon?
Pokemon.
That's just cruel.
I know, and also, poking Pikachu is a shortcut to an electric shock. Actually, I suppose it depends what you poke him with.
I don't know, you've got to move that jagged tail out of the way. And
do you get the feeling we're putting about as much thought into this as the typical forum user?
I don't know, let's find out, shall we? Okay, so the Pokemon forum seems to be full of kind of life's big questions with regards to Pokemon. Volcanic769 asks, what happens if you bring your little Pokemon to school?
Is that a euphemism?
I don't think it is. Let's say if I bring my partner Quill the Quillava, and my teacher then realises that he is cute, and then he accidentally puts his flames in his flamethrower, and that the school is on fire, and that's bad.
Yeah, this seems a bit meticulously planned. I don't think that they're asking, what happens if you bring your Pokemon to school? I think they're just coming up with plans for arson.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that Quillava is a fire-based Pokemon based on
I do remember this. Quillava is the evolution of Cyndaquil.
Pokemon evolve into different Pokemon.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder whether Richard Dawkins is somehow involved in the Pokemon series?
The only thing that Richard Dawkins is poking is former Doctor Who companion Lala Ward. Tom Baker's sloppy second. Toujours says that you wouldn't be able to have them out in classes because for the higher IQ'd Pokemon, it would be like having a cheat sheet.
Again, not an expert in Pokemon, but I'm pretty sure from what I've seen, they can only speak their name.
Yeah, so unless the answer to your maths exam is Jigglypuff, you're in trouble. Someone points out that obviously some of the Pokemon are poisonous, which wouldn't be good.
Aren't they only poisonous if you like lick them or they lick you?
Oh, I don't know. Some of them have got like gas clouds around them and stuff.
Well, yeah, but who doesn't?
Justin RPG is asking, what would the advantages and disadvantages of using Pokemon for transportation be? He's given a few examples, you know. Advantage, clean and efficient, doesn't pollute. Disadvantage, be careful of flames.
So advantages, clean and efficient and pollute. Disadvantages, may burn you to death. Sounds like my mum's old car, actually, apart from the clean and efficient part. Do you know what I think the problem with Pokemon transportation would
what?
Be? I imagine if I sat on a Squirtle or a Pikachu or one of the other many Pokemons I can't think what are called, I would crush it. A Pikachu wouldn't be much good if it stuck between my cheeks.
But you could sit on a Snorlax.
I don't know what that is.
Snorlax is a really big one that's usually asleep.
Cool. Remember that for dating profile.
Snorlax seeks Squirtle.
You're going to get some action on the poker community.
Oh, yes. Because who wouldn't want to f*** a Snorlax? Apart from, you know, every girl I've ever met. Oreo Master says, how would these Pokemon attacks feel in real life? Hydro Pump? Hydro Cannon? Seed Bomb?
How would these feel, Pete?
I think they'd hurt, Dunk.
I think you're right.
You know, I think something like Blast Burn, I don't think you need to ask how that would feel.
I think he's being a bit callous when he says Night Slash, because that's a very serious problem for some old people.
How many old people do you think are using the Pokemon forums?
3, but they're probably on a register.
Then again, it is quite a big problem for diabetics, and I suspect there's quite a few of them on there.
And soon we'll be some in here at this rate.
Oreo Master just keeps listing them. It's like, how would Thunderbolt affect you?
Well, I think you'd probably be shocked.
Oh dear.
I hate myself. Avatar Mew has started the official science of Pokemon thread. So get ready to get some science dropped on you.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is a thread to explain Pokemon with science. Moves, weaknesses, evolution, body parts, speed of attack. How do you think Pokemon learn new moves? How do they breed?
Sex. Sorry, I wasn't answering a question. I was just waking up.
How did they evolve? Do you think they are still evolving?
Yeah, because they're still making new Pokemon games.
How do you think you got to a state where you get these kind of almost human level of intelligence animals?
I don't know. I mean, with some of them, you can kind of understand how they might have evolved. With other ones, like the garbage Pokemon or the free ice cream Pokemon from the last Pokemon game, a little bit more difficult.
Genetic engineering, surely, must play a part in ice cream Pokemon.
Either that or a panda a tub of Ben and Jerry's.
Zeffy helpfully explains it like this. Pokemon learn new moves by learning them. Yes.
Justin RPG says, tell me if this sounds logical.
It doesn't. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't. I've done enough of these forums
now. No, don't. Have an open mind. I know it's difficult.
Fine.
Okay. No. Does this sound logical?
No.
I always imagined if a person is riding a Pokemon and the Pokemon attacks some opposing Pokemon, if the attack usually does damage to all Pokemon including the ally, the rider will get hit with the attack as well. Do you agree or disagree with this logic? Answer me!
What did you just say? That was that sentence, my brain couldn't keep up with it.
Isra posts, hello, I'm 14 and I have a problem with Pokemon.
I had a similar problem when I was 14, Isra. You know, as you grow up, you'll have problems with, quote-unquote, Pokemon, but it's perfectly natural to wake up with Pokemon on your sheets.
Less so when you're 28 years old and still getting it.
You told me you wouldn't tell anyone that.
It's all right, nobody's listening. No, I mean, it's kind of sad. You know, Israel's being told by his or her friends that they're acting childish by playing Pokemon and so on. Then says, I know that Pokemon ain't for kids.
Wait, yes it is.
It is. I mean, you know, obviously adults can play it. I've played it, my mum's played it. We've traded Pokemon on many occasions.
You're like a real model 21st century family.
We are.
The family that trades Pokemon together stays... Oh, wait, no.
No. Yeah, I think the reason my parents split up is because my dad wouldn't give up his level 98 Mewtwo.
Well, yeah, that's completely understandable.
Also because he started sleeping with other women.
So, Justin RPG has another post here. Anybody else physically attracted to a certain Pokemon?
No.
Why did every forum end up with people talking about whether they're physically attracted to things?
Because they're almost certainly not going to be attracted to one another.
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
Justin RPG has a physical attraction to Reshiram. Zeffy says, I'm not physically attracted to any Pokemon, nor will I ever will be.
Good, the voice of reason.
Yeah. The only attraction that I have to any Pokemon will be due to their persona.
Oh, so that's fine then.
So Pikachu's but ugly, but he's got a great personality.
But how would you know? As you've already pointed out, all that Pokemon say is their names. How the hell do you ever get a conversation going? Oh, you know, Pikachu, I really suffered when I was younger, you know, I had a difficult time with the family and all this stuff. Did anything interesting happen to you growing up?
Pika, 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 Pika.
Lord Sugar is Pikachu. 7 Mufasa 7 says what everyone's thinking, I think. This is definitely awkward for Justin RPG. Sorry, but I don't think anyone's up for bestiality on this forum. I bet they are.
I think he's making an assumption there, yeah.
As proved by the very next post where the Nightmare says, I have a physical attraction to Lugia. He's just too cool.
I thought I said Luigi.
Nobody has a physical attraction to Luigi. And Mac of York says, I'm not attracted to any Pokemon, but Jesse from Team Rocket, oh yeah! And I kind of agree, actually. You know, Jesse from Team Rocket, long red hair, big breasts.
Sounds like trouble.
Make it double. D.
You're listening to the Dork Avengers podcast, sponsored by Nuts Magazine. The magazine for people that haven't discovered internet porn.
And it continues, just in RPG
of course,
again.
Of course it continues. Of course, because, why is the longest thread about sexual fantasies about Pokemon? I know it's inevitable, but isn't it a depressing snapshot of the human psyche?
Well, the thing is, it seems to be just in RPG posting all of these.
Right.
He says, my Pokemon fantasy is riding Moltres. That is my number one Pokemon. That's really harsh on Reshiram. You know, Justin's posting publicly that his number one fantasy doesn't even feature the Pokemon he wants to marry. Though I suppose that's a true reflection of real life. I don't know, if there are any husbands and wives listening, let us know what your ultimate sex fantasy is and if it involves your current partner. And actually, anyone listening, if you just want to let us know what your ultimate sex fantasy is.
Okay, calm down, Creeper McCreeperson. Have a sit down.
Four vampires. Oh, Justin RPG's posted again.
Oh, God. Now, let's see. We've had physically attracted, fantasies involving Pokemon. Oh, God. I don't even want to imagine what's next.
If you could get married to any Pokemon...
Oh, for f***'s sake.
I don't know. Which one do you think Justin RPG would marry?
Reshiram.
Reshiram, yep. Zekrom would be best man, just for reference.
I don't know what these things mean. The only thing I'm sure of is that Justin RPG needs to go to a sanatorium.
Justin RPG says, anyone highly addicted to Pokemon?
I think Justin RPG might be. Yep. Well, that was a fascinating glimpse into the psyche of the Pokemon fans.
Yeah, I'm really worried about Justin RPG.
He does seem to have a little bit of a fascination with Reshiram.
Do you think maybe it's Justin Bieber?
I think it's highly unlikely.
I suppose it can't be him, because when he did the All I Want for Christmas for You duet with Mariah Carey, he probably wouldn't have been able to resist slipping in a couple of references to Reshiram along the way.
I want a donut!
Of course, New Year is the time of the year when you make resolutions. Is there anything about your life that you'd like to change, Dunk?
I think an easier question would be, is there anything about my life that I wouldn't want to change? The only thing I wouldn't change, Pete, is our friendship.
If my friendship's the only perfect thing you've got in your life, you're really screwed.
So New Year's resolutions for me, my first resolution would be to take up some kind of physical activity, like sport. See, I can see the look of disgust on your face.
It's a justified look of disgust. Geeks are not meant to do sport. We're notoriously bad at it.
Yeah, but let's be diplomatic. I'm on the husky side, and I'm kind of a shut-in.
That's true.
Partly because I was working freelance a lot, so I was doing a lot of work, and partly because I've let myself get too addicted to games and...
And food.
So I'd like to take up a sport, maybe go out and join some kind of sporting club.
No, because most people in sporting clubs are dicks.
The problem is I can't think what sport I could take up. I mean, it can't be football.
No.
Because... Well, as we established earlier, I don't have the hand-to-eye coordination to even catch a falling child. How do you expect people? I mean, how dare you even suggest that, Pete?
I'm sorry.
Rugby, I used to be good at school because, you know, I could push people over quite easily.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't really like pain.
Although I don't have any interest in taking up sport, you know, I think it's something that we'd both like to change, I think, our heft, as it were.
Yeah, so what kind of sport should I do, though? This is the problem, because I have been thinking about this. I've been thinking, the sports that I think I'd be good at are things like darts, bowling, bowls, stuff that basically I might as well sit in front of the Xbox, the amount of physical exertion is involved. It's really hard, isn't it?
It is.
Not having the coordination to play tennis or badminton or other such games.
I did actually try and take up taekwondo once.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I was trying to impress a girl at the time. Most things that I've done that are slightly daring involve me trying to impress a girl, then failing miserably. I found it really hard, actually, because it was a weekly lesson, but it would take me the entire week to physically recover from the previous week's lesson.
I also did judo when I was much younger, when I was about 8 or yeah. 10. But then I got my ass kicked by, like, a 6-year-old.
Maybe we should both go and take up karate.
Yeah. Because then we can learn to defend ourselves from all the bullies.
Yeah, we could be like the proper Dork Avengers.
We'll create costumes and go out and fight crime with karate.
Yeah, like those twats in America. Yeah, no, I think it is something that I'd like to change as well. Because, you know, like you, I've been a man of heft for quite some time now. And it's not really doing very well in picking up the women.
Well, it's also not doing so very well for your self-esteem.
I don't know, I kind of feel like I'd have pretty low self-esteem regardless. But yeah, maybe this is something we should turn into a regular feature on the podcast.
Not a bad idea.
At least, you know, keep a record of what exercise we've been doing, what we've been eating, how much Diet Coke we've been drinking. Just because it says diet on it doesn't mean that it's particularly good for you.
Less than one calorie. There is more calories in a stamp.
Right, Dung, look at that bottle. What do you see?
Father Christmas.
Yep, drinking a bottle of Diet Coke. How big is Father Christmas's belly? I think my point is that you may need to start drinking more healthy drinks, like Dr. Pepper. I mean, it's got doctor in it, it must be fine. And pepper's a vegetable.
Not everything with doctor in the name necessarily means it's good for your Pete.
Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario.
Yeah, so maybe in the new year, it can be a regular section. You listeners can hear how badly we've failed.
Well, I think we could succeed if we put our minds to it.
Fancy a Nando's after the podcast, don't?
Yeah, go on then.
Do you have any more New Year's resolutions?
I've been thinking, I quite want to go on Dragon's Den. We've got a few inventions I've been thinking of.
I'm out.
Well, how come you haven't heard my idea yet?
Okay, well, I'm going to be your personal Shane Ritchie. Let's do Dragon's Den here and now.
Hilary DeVay.
Hello.
I've got this idea, you know, because the movie industry is really pushing 3D. It's their thing, right?
That's right, Dunk.
But the problem is, 3D is an exclusory medium.
Hang on, what the f*** does exclusory mean?
It means people, for example, like me, who wear glasses...
Four-eyed b***.
3D film is an uncomfortable experience because you have to wear the glasses on top of them, right?
Yes, that's right.
So, my idea, you snap the arms off the 3D glasses.
I'll snap your arms off, love.
No, see, Hilary DeVay is not a psychotic serial killer.
I fucking am.
So you take a set of 3D glasses, you remove the arms and you put a clip on. So you can just clip the 3D glasses in front of your normal glasses and then watch the film in only mild discomfort as opposed to total discomfort.
I'd like to invest £50,000.
Awesome. Really?
No, I was fucking joking.
I wish you were James Caan. Well, maybe I'll just go to Theopaphetus.
Hello there.
Theopaphetus is not a vampire.
I am Theopaphetus.
He's blooming Greek. Actually, yeah, he's Greek. Why? How does he have money? So, Pete, so you agree with me that you want to lose weight, but do you have another New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I would like to properly get back into stand-up comedy in the new year.
Yeah, because you kind of took a sabbatical.
I did. I got very bored with it, to be honest, because I think there's only so much... going into tiny rooms above pubs and playing to an audience of people who saw your act just last week because they were the other acts on the bill. And after a while, it did begin to get me down slightly. And, you know, I felt I should do other things like the Japanese lessons and you know, this podcast, for example.
Good choice there, Pete.
Yeah. I'm sure our 12 listeners appreciate the decision. But, yeah, I've obviously been coming up with a lot of hilarious observations in the time since...
Yeah, any samples you can give?
Yeah, I'll just open the Post-it Notes app on my phone. Let's see some of the cracking things I've got. I've got Girls in Dreams Rather Than Real Life. You can have that, Dunk.
Is that it?
No, I've got Hamsters Hannibal Lecter.
Right.
Big Chocolate Stain on Cheek.
So are these just notes to yourself about jokes? You haven't actually got any jokes to go with these?
I don't know. To be honest, I wrote some of these in August and I can't remember what the joke I was then going to write is. Stalking former Blockbusters contestants. I actually used that in last issue's podcast. So.
Yeah, you did. And I mean, you know what? It was a funny bit.
I've got English Collective of Prostitutes written down. I'm not sure whether that was an idea for a joke... or just a suggestion for next year. So yeah, I plan on getting back on the stand-up scene. What's your final New Year's resolution?
Well, it's going back into the whole I've become a bit of a shut-in thing. I want to meet more people. I want to go out and do stuff. I'm going to become a socialite.
Go on.
Well, people like Tara Palmer Tomkinson just spend all their time going to parties, meeting new people and making friends.
Snorting cocaine.
I don't think I'd enjoy cocaine. I don't really like stuff going on my nose. It makes me sneeze. I don't see the appeal. I once tried to drink vodka through my nose, and it was one of the most unpleasant experiences of my life. So yeah, I'm going to become a socialite. So I'm just going to start crashing parties and becoming friends with people.
Okay, let's imagine that I'm a stranger you're running into at a party. Let's see how this socialising is going to work.
I can't imagine many people that are stranger than you, Pete.
I'm just here chatting with my friends. Oh, yeah. Massive. About 5 inches. That's pretty big, yeah? Oh, darling. There you are. Okay, you meant to interrupt.
Hello, I am Sir Duncan of Percival. I am an aristocrat. Be my friend, please.
I'm out.
But anyway, that's my plan. My plan is to go out to more parties, meet more people, and have a friendship group that doesn't just consist of you.
Good luck, Dunk.
You must have more resolutions than just two, Pete.
Yeah, I've got one more. I need to not have weird obsessions when it comes to women. I mean, you know, this year I've had Zelda Williams...
Who you fell out with when she discovered sport.
Yep.
Which I'm scared is going to happen to us.
Lauren Faust, creator of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
You know, yes, she was married, but I figured, what the hey? She said that she loved bronies, the male fans of My Little Pony. So I thought, well, I'll just become one. So I spent several months this year doing that.
And you said several months as a brony.
Yep, then I had a wash. There was, of course, the Batgirl who hugged me on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh because I bought a ticket to her show.
Batgirl, the character Batgirl, as opposed to a girl just as a bat.
Yeah. Right. I decided that it wasn't pursuable because she hadn't even made clear which Batgirl she was. And, you know, I don't want to get those mixed up.
Well, apart from anything, I can't think of a Batgirl that hasn't been a huge disappointment.
Yeah, so I'd like to start pursuing real women in the new year.
And by pursuing, you don't mean literally pursuing.
No, I'm not going to be able to run that fast. So yeah, it's looking pretty grim for us in 2011. Keep checking back with us in 2012 to see how we do. I predict poorly.
This is the Dork Avengers Podcast. If you're listening to this outside, you're no friend of theirs.
Well, that's all from us for this year. We're going to take a short break for Christmas and New Year and generally recovering and trying to hide the fact that we've failed our New Year's resolutions 2 days in. But we will be back, probably sometime around the end of January, with the usual mix of geeky fun and laughs and maybe a few surprises.
The new Dork Avengers.
No, let's not get complicated. We'd like to thank you quite sincerely for downloading and subscribing and listening. And to the few of you who have commented, you know, we'd absolutely love it if you'd be able to leave positive reviews on iTunes and stuff. And just get in touch with us on dorkavengerspodcast@gmail.com. We're quite lonely.
But yes, as Pete said, thank you very much for all your support, all your feedback, everything.
It's just coming up to midnight on New Year's Eve.
Is it? Because I'm pretty sure it's the 18th of December.
Let's just sing the bloody song, shall we?
Oh, fine.
Should Johnny English be forgot and Zelda brought to mind? Should Power Rangers be forgot and stuck up Pete's backside? Yes!
Ow!
We'll party in our basement room with lots of nerdy cheer. We've been the Dork Avengers and see you in the new year. We're so sorry.
I'm not that sorry.